The Fan on Demand. Nobody does it better. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Draft Day 2014 in the National Hockey League. It's Hockey Central at noon. Get you to South Florida and talk about what the Panthers are going to do in a couple of minutes as we head to Philadelphia and John Shannon, part of our Hockey Central team at Sportsnet, covering things going on in the city of brotherly love. It's Darren Millard along with Scott Morrison and Doug McLean here at Hockey Central, presented by Lexus on the Park. Got some free agency chatter. Also, we'll delve into the Toronto Maple Leafs, who have been extremely quiet outside of the hiring of Brendan Shanahan. Extremely quiet since the end of the regular season.
Is he going to be assistant coach, maybe, too?
Kevin McGran will join us later on in this show. So, Doug, being a coach who sat at the draft table, a president, a general manager who sat at the draft table, take me through what's happening with Dale Tallon right now with that number one pick, knowing that it's come down, the odds of keeping it, and maybe close to 50-50.
Last night he said that there was a 70% chance he was keeping it, but that he was absolutely overwhelmed by the great offer he got for it and more than he ever expected to get. So just a minute, if you want to trade the pick and you get an offer for more than you ever expected you would get, wouldn't you make the trade? That usually means if you're overwhelmed, essentially, you
I'm
would make the trade.
I'm selling a car.
Yes.
And I want $6,000. Somebody gives me $82,500.
And I'm...
Do I go back and say, you know what? Can I get $9,000 for it? No.
Well, and I think, and you well know this, Doug, the serious offers aren't coming in until today anyway. There's a lot of tire kickers and gauging what kind of price he wants to ask and... You know, as it gets later into this day, that's when the more serious offers will come. Well, and to quantify where he is in that process is an impossible number for him to throw out anyway.
Does he take that offer and take it to the... He said he expanded his options, too, from the top 8 to the top 10 picks that he'll trade that to. He wants to pick inside the top 10. So he takes that to the other 9 teams?
Well, he gets it...
The other eight.
The other couple of teams that are in the mix, because not everybody's in the mix on this. People have said it point blank, the demands are too high. Dave Nonis said that. They're not in our ballpark, essentially, is what David said. So here's the situation. It's a unique draft. Typically, guys will not go below a couple of spots with the number one pick. That's history has shown that when you have the number one pick, sometimes you'll drop to 3. Very seldom will you ever go below 3. That tells you a little bit about the draft, and it tells you a little bit about the uncertainty. You know, like Ekblad's a great defenseman. He's going to be a real good defenseman, but he's not the Pronger. He's not the Weber. Some people, they just don't know what he's going to be.
He's going to
be
Seth Jones, who dropped a 4.
That's right. So the question is, what price do you pay to get Ekblad? Well, if you're the Edmonton Oilers and you've got a good group of young forwards, yeah, they need another centerman. I get that. But if you've got a chance to start your, you know, developing the blue line with a Schultz, it makes sense for them to move up. Vancouver, it makes sense for them to move up because maybe they want Reinhardt and they got to start retooling up front and create some offense, especially if you're moving Kessler. So it makes sense to some of those teams. You mentioned a Winnipeg might be in the mix in your tweet last night.
Tweet.
And, you know, does it make sense for a Winnipeg? Well,
Winnipeg's 9, and Dale expanded it to the
right.
top 10.
So
and
you
number
could say,
10 is Anaheim with the Ottawa pick.
Right. So then you can say, well, if you put Trouba with Ekblad, that's the start of a real nice back end. So I can understand why a Winnipeg would be in the mix. They've got some centermen and some good quality forwards there in the top 6 young guys. Shifley and Little and Wheeler they like and Kane and so on. They've got some good people there, so it makes sense. But Dale's going to wait it right out. Does he essentially move the pick? With Barkov and Huberdeau and Bukestad and some kids in the minors, Does he not need a big guy in the back end to go with Gudbranson?
And the long-going goal.
It makes sense to keep Ekblad, but here's the problem with Dale. Dale can't be picking here next year, or he's going to be looking for a job. This new ownership group are adamant that this team takes a major step this year.
Well, that's what I was going to say. How severe is the pressure point that
big time.
Team has to be significantly better? And
extreme.
Does that first pick put you in that position, or can you turn that first pick into a couple of players that will make you much better, and then you go shopping?
The acquisition of Luongo told us that. Here's John Shannon, who joined us from Philadelphia. So this is a developing story. Dale Tallon keeps it or trades it, the number one pick. You're hanging out, the Four Seasons in the lobby? What are you hearing?
I've moved hotels now.
Oh, yeah.
How's the double trade?
I'm at the Motel 6 out by the airport.
So. But you've got a platinum card there.
I will tell you, I think he's moving. I think that I think what you guys said about being able to have players play now makes so much sense for Florida, and the fact that I think that they actually, if they were to be able to parlay and still keep a pick in that top 1 to 9 or 10, I think there's somebody else they like better.
The question is pressure into win in Florida, and you combine that, John, with a soft July 1st market where you've got a Niskanen and you've got a Boyle and you've got a Gilbert and you've got a Strom, and it drops dramatically. So, you know, if he can parlay the first into a couple of players that relieve a little of the July 1st pressure, that makes sense too.
Oh, I you're absolutely right. The other thing about this, and this is a really long shot, is you have to wonder, because there's very little talk in Philadelphia about what they're trying to do, is are they going to try to hit a home run? Are they going to try to go and make a splash tonight for their fans? And, I mean, is Ron Hextall not above and beyond doing almost anything to his roster, save, Giroux? To change things here in order to get that first pick.
Well,
and I have to wonder about that as well.
The one guy that would jump out at me with Philly is Coburn. Is that the type of guy that Dale Tallon would love to have on his back end that could really create something? You know, that type of name out there. I mean, he's been out there for a year. He's not a top guy, but he's certainly a guy that could help a lot of teams. I don't know. I don't see Dale dropping that far. I just don't.
And Philly, nice to make a splash, but they have to win as well.
Yeah,
Ed Snyder's going to say nice splash, but what are you doing in the springtime?
Splashes are for the kiddie pool.
Yeah, well, but you know Ed Snyder, Doug.
Yeah.
You know how he works. I mean, somebody told me this afternoon is that, Ed feels that every summer they have to do something big. So that to me is a big part of this. So.
And that's been a big part of their problem.
Yeah.
Splashes have caused tidal waves there.
Yeah. You know what happens after you splash?
Yeah.
You sink.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no water left in the pool. Who do you think is the most serious about trying to move into that slot?
I think Vancouver is. I really do. I think Vancouver's right. Is trying to do something, and whether it's for Kessler or whether it's something else. The commissioner's walking by. You want to say hello to Doug McClain?
I don't want to hear any smart-ass comments from him now.
We're on the air.
Commissioner Gary Bettman joins us as John Shannon hands him his phone. Darren Millard along with Scott Morrison and Doug McClain. How are you?
I'm good, but why aren't you here?
That's not a question to ask me because I may snap.
Okay. you've never snapped at me in all the years I've known you.
Listen, I want to know why you're not on the stage hugging all the players like I saw and giving them high fives like I saw Mr. Silver last night.
Well, first of all, I greet all the players personally.
But you don't give them
the stage, you know that.
You do the traditional handshake. You don't do the big, the higher one, and then the hug after.
I don't know. Maybe Adam's just younger and hipper than I am.
Are you going to announce a trade with the number one pick tonight?
I don't know. No, I won't know until they tell me. I'm just the messenger.
Do we have the cap number yet?
No, we're still talking to the Players Association, and we're trying to come to a mutual landing as to what the number should be.
We know that you've got things to do, but what do you do on draft day leading up to the start of the proceedings?
There are a series of events. I was just in with the head coaches while they were getting a presentation on concussions and the concussion protocol. I was on a panel with a few of the Flyers, both players and organization, for season ticket holders, members of the greater Philadelphia community, sponsors and advertisers. I was at a breakfast this morning for the kids who were about to be drafted and their families. And I'm on my way to plant trees in recognition of the importance of the environment. And then I haven't looked further ahead than that, but that's through 1 o'clock this afternoon.
That what would you say? Okay, when on the, going back to the salary cap for a minute, Gary. When does this have to be finalized? Does it go right till the nth degree, or do you anticipate teams will know a little in advance?
Well, it obviously needs to be done by July 1st.
Right.
Teams will know, but yeah. we and this isn't to point fingers or anything. I think it's easier for us to make the decisions that have to be made in real time than it may be for the Players Association having lots of constituents to consult with.
Right.
But we want to get to a place where there's mutual comfort and mutual agreement. And so if we run off and announce it before everybody's comfortable and there's complete agreement, that could lead to confusion and chaos. And so we'll be a little more patient. I know everybody on the media side is anxious to know, as are the clubs who have to make some planning. But we have to do when you're dancing with a dance partner, you got to stay in step.
But tonight's a big one. A lot of news flying around, but we here at Sportsnet and Rogers really looking forward to Tuesday. Thanks for taking John Shannon's phone.
Yeah, it upgraded the interview dramatically.
Well, you know, I'll tell John, they said this upgraded the interview dramatically. He actually said I could keep the phone as a souvenir, but I'm going
to... And thank John and tell him we'll talk to him next week.
Well, I'll give you back to John right now. Okay. Take care, guys.
Thanks. There's Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the National Hockey League.
He stuck all my time.
Shanny, we don't need you now. Thanks. We'll talk to you next week, bud.
I've been in the business 37 years. I'm still a runner.
Hey, who else is around?
Jerry Gallant said to say hello, Doug.
Oh, good. Just wander around the lobby and hand your phone to people, and that we'd be pleased with that.
It might, you know what, that might be the best radio you have on this show for a while.
Do you think Winnipeg's this mystery team that's jumped in by the way of the Florida Panthers and Dale Talon expanding his group to 10?
I don't. But at the same time, I you have to wonder, and I think, and I'm sure Doug knows this better than most, but is this just a foil to say, hey, listen, I'm still open for business and I haven't got a good offer yet? That might be the way to go too.
Sometimes
I just keep hearing the Dick Vlad's not going to Florida. So
sometimes mystery teams are just that; they don't exist.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this whole thing started on Wednesday when everybody was talking about unrestricted free agency. The focus turned back to the draft, I guess, yesterday afternoon, and now everything's cranking up again. And managers are having a tough time deciding whether to deal with free agency or dealing with the draft.
John Shannon in Philadelphia chatting with us on Hockey Central, presented by Lexus on the Park and the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks with Darren Millard, Scott Morrison, and Doug McLean.
What are you hearing on the Spezza front, John?
Actually, I was just over with Brian Murray and then talked to Paul McLean about it as well. And they're just, they're obviously offers, but nothing that they want. And, they would love to have a first-round pick tonight. And they just, I guess that doesn't sound like that's going to happen. Nobody's prepared to offer a first-round pick at this point tonight for Spezza. And if that changes, then perhaps something will come up. But nothing that Brian likes right now. And as he said, well, I'm in Philadelphia and Jason's in Toronto and nothing's changed.
So they don't like Jason and they don't like the offers for him. So how does that play out?
Well, when these guys speak publicly right now, the poker game is, well, yeah. Well, we're not forced to trade him by tonight at 7 o'clock. We can wait and do it all summer.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, their back isn't against the wall yet,
Shanny.
And there will be teams that will think they can reinvent Jason Spezza.
Yeah,
you know that as well as I do.
Yeah, he can go in and be a real good number two in a lot of teams. John, just thinking about Anaheim for a minute. and you say, okay, we got to go head-to-head against L.A. 30 miles away. You look at the center ice the L.A. Kings have. How do they not, with the assets they have, two firsts, two seconds, a number of young players, how do Anaheim not get the Kessler deal done?
I agree with you. Well, you know as well as I do, Doug, that last March they had a deal done for Kessler, and the family nixed it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were as close as anybody to getting, when Mike Gillis was the manager, getting Ryan Kessler to go against the Sharks and the Kings in the playoffs. And I still think that Anaheim is where he's going to end up. And I'm not sure at this point that what I was told yesterday was that they were asking Kessler to expand his list, find a way to expand his list, because I don't think Anaheim was on that list.
Hey, how chaotic is this time for a general manager? You're in Philadelphia, you're trying to look at the draft, and you've got seven rounds of this, and some teams have 10 picks, and then you've got free agency coming up on Tuesday, and interviews. Add into this the 5-day window.
In talking to a couple of general managers, that they're not happy, they're not enjoying it at all, because they want to be more involved in what has been conventionally the draft time and talk more to their scouts, but they're getting barraged by agents and talking about free agents, and they're not really as focused on the draft as they should be.
And trust me, the draft people, the scouting staff, the directors of scoutings, they are thrilled that the GMs are busy with this other stuff because they don't want them meddling in the picks. Trust me on that. Except for a Timmy Murray or some of the younger GMs who are really engaged in it. It's a myth that these guys are heavily involved in this.
Well, I mean, at least, and they may be asking the right or wrong question at the right or wrong time, though, Doug, but you know as well as I do that managers in the past have always tried to meddle a little bit at this time of year, and the scouts are wondering what they've done for 364 days of the year.
Exactly.
Do you think the date of free agency would be moved back 5 days to not coincide with the draft?
I don't know how it can, because it's in the CBA, mm-hmm. but if there's enough pushback from the teams that it's a problem, that they'd have to go to the Players Association. And as my co-host Gary Bettman told you about 10 minutes ago, said that they have a partnership and they have to deal with these guys, and they don't want to put too much pressure on it. And you know as well as I do, again, that Don Fear, if he says, well, if we give that, you have to give us something else. So the answer is, it would be a good idea, but I doubt it.
Well, could you not move the draft up?
Yeah, you probably could, but I mean, you've got the issue of how close to the final do you want it to be, and you do have windows of other things like awards. Those are big issues.
A couple of quiet teams, Buffalo and Edmonton. We'll chat about Toronto in the next block with Kevin McGran. But
yeah,
any talk about Tim Murray doing something?
Jimmy just met with the media this morning, and he's talking about he was trying to get a second first round pick, but I do believe that pick was probably Carolina's pick. I think Ron Francis was trying to get some financial relief from some of those contracts that he didn't sign players to, and would give the seventh pick up to do that. But I think that they've gotten a little cold on trying to do things there. But he's now talking about, you know, going into the free agent side to find some veteran leadership to help his team in the meantime. The key thing for me is that if the trade is made for Ekblad, there's a chance that Ekblad's not the guy drafted. And then if Ekblad drops, Buffalo probably doesn't take him, and then that means it goes to Edmonton. And does Edmonton decide between taking Ekblad or Leon Draisaitl? Because they really want – Craig McTavish, all he's talked about is we need a big – strong centerman, and Draisaitl fits that. But they've also, you know, salivated over Ekblad too. So if Ekblad's available, I suspect Edmonton will take that, and then Calgary would take Draisaitl.
The other quiet team has been the Islanders with the number five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much.
Well, they're trying to shop too, right?
Yeah,
Charles Wilhelm has told Gar Snow that, you know, we need a player to play now. They expect to be in the playoffs in their last year at Nassau Coliseum, and I'm not sure how that can happen with that roster, but that's what they're trying to do, is they're trying to get, like almost like Florida, they're trying to get guys to help them right now.
Do you like it when your owner comes to you and says, we need to We need a player who can play now, Mac?
No, but I've had them come to me and say, we need to make the playoffs or else. I've had that before. And that's what a few, like, that's the challenge for a few of these GMs. When they see, when they go to the GMs meetings, and I talked to a few of the GMs in New York, and they said it was bizarre that most of the meeting was taken up with introducing the new GMs this year.
Yeah.
It took quite a while to introduce the seven or so that were new. So when you see seven new GMs being introduced, your owner doesn't have to tell you that you have to make the playoffs. You get that feeling.
Well, no, actually, you hear it from the president of hockey operations now, Doug.
Oh, exactly, the fake GM. Now, the other thing is, the interesting thing with all these teams that are in the hunt, there's a lot of teams, excluding Florida and the Islanders, who missed the playoffs, but teams who went out early that their owners are still pissed off. St. Louis, Pittsburgh, we saw the ramifications of that. You know, Anaheim, I mean, there's some pressure. San Jose, there's some pressure on those teams to do something as well. So it's a unique kind of year.
Well, and you know, Doug Wilson was a little proactive by telling everybody he's not re-signing Martin Havlat. Obviously, they traded Dan Boyle. And Tuesday may be Dan Boyle Day. He might be the only guy signed on Tuesday.
That'll be fun.
Moving Burns. Yeah, I know, won't it? What time does that start?
11.
Okay. And then moving Brett Burns to the blue line. So that he was trying to be a little proactive. At the same time, I mean, I don't know what you guys think, but whether the Thornton Marlowe stuff keeps propping up, we haven't heard very much of that here this week. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
John Shannon covering things in Philadelphia for Connected and Hockey Central. Thanks for doing this. Keep trolling the lobbies, and we will chat with you at 6 o'clock on Connect as we get ready for this 2014 National Hockey League draft and the Arizona Coyotes selection.
Absolutely. Can you remember? You have to, Glendale had to get something out of that deal.
Poured a lot of money into
it. Did Deb Berman, just a quick clothing question, did Deb Berman approve the yellow on yellow last night, the yellow tie on the yellow shirt?
You like that? You like that, huh?
I thought it was a little different. I'm not sure. I would have. You're usually a blue on yellow.
I'm looking forward to the picture of Shanny beside the Rocky statue.
And Jeff Merrick.
I'm gonna stand beside my date tonight, Kate Smith.
Oh.
Seriously, what's with Merrick's haircut? Did you see that last night?
And how's your haircut today?
I was at
Umberto's. I know. How was it?
Umberto did a great job today. Job.
We'll actually be the judge of that. Okay?
I didn't get it cut. I got it styled.
Anytime you do something different with your hair, everybody's all up in arms. thanks, Shanny. Appreciate it. We'll keep in touch.
Thanks.
Follow him on Sportsnet, Jay Sportsnet. Any chance nothing happens tonight?
Yes.
And it just goes.
Yes.
As scripted right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that can
And we've
happen.
Seen it before.
Just that it's so bizarre. We hear it every year. We're open for business on the number one pick. And you know, it's most 90% of the time it's BS. This time, because of the type of draft it is, it's better than 50-50 it could happen. I believe that. Whereas typically it's 10%.
Now, are you talking... You know? Is
like a Tavares draft or a, you know what I'm saying? The Stamkos draft, the Tavares draft, the Ovechkin draft. We heard it in all of them.
What's the price then in looking at the talent in this draft? What would be the price for that first pick realistically?
The price would be your first round pick, which is the top 10. It would be a good player on your roster and a prospect. So just to give an example, would it be Tanev, the first, and a secondary prospect.
So is
that fair? That's what I think you'd be looking for.
How much many of your cards do you show? So Talon says, I think I can get my guy at 4. Does he talk to the teams at 2 and 3 and 4 and say, this is what I'm thinking?
You're relying on your staff to say, how far down can I go to get this guy? And that makes the scouts squirm because you don't know. But for instance, if Dale's saying, how far can I go down and get Draisaitl? You know, how far can I go down to get Richie? How far can I go down to get Del Cole? You don't know. Like you mentioned Edmonton.
Would teams show
No, they wouldn't show their cards. Not a chance they're showing their cards as to who's there. And what the other, on the other side is, you would typically say, here's the three players. Here's three players off my roster I would consider giving you. If it's Tanev, if it's, you know, who else there? You know, this is a list of three I would consider giving. I mean, would Edler be on that list? I can't believe he would, but his name's out there a ton in during the trade deadline. So how? What's the price you pay? And let's not forget, Vancouver's got to win too. With them trying to bring in Ryan Miller, you know, it's a funny rebuild in Vancouver right now.
I know. It's
a tight window.
It's like Luongo.
Right.
If you're going to pay Luongo all this cash,
right,
you're not going to do it to finish 25th.
Right. And not only that, when you know, there's extreme pressure on some of these lower teams to fix this, what's going on. I mean, I read an article in the Florida paper yesterday. They're fed up. They've had their fill of a 17-year rebuild in Florida.
And what about fans of the Toronto Maple Leafs? We'll chat with Kevin McGrath from the Toronto Star about what exactly is happening behind the scenes with Dave Nonis, Brendan Shanahan, and don't count out Tim Leiwicki and his influence here. Not a lot's happened. They put Randy Carlyle back in place. They kept him, changed up the assistants, but that's about it. So where are they in the grand scheme of things on draft day 2014? It's Hockey Central talking about the Leafs on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hockey Central Studio, Darren Millard, along with Scott Morrison and Doug McClain. Hockey Central presented by Lexus in the Park on draft day. The first round goes tonight in Philadelphia. National Hockey League draft. You'll notice the entry has been dropped from it. And then the final six rounds tomorrow. What's the shortest you've ever taken to announce a pick? Shortest amount of time? Because things speed up considerably on Saturday.
You mean in the first round?
Yeah.
Well, you just get up there and you congratulate the city and the Stanley Cup champs. And we always had to wish the 100 fans back in Columbus that were watching on in a sports bar in the lean years.
It's so tedious.
Yeah, we had great draft parties.
I'd like to thank the city, the great city of Philadelphia, for hosting the event. Like, come on.
Yeah.
And then they'll get booed. Everybody.
What's the best is the seventh round when everybody's packing up their stuff and you know, they can't wait to get to the airport.
I like it when, okay, Chicago, you're on the clock and the bus leaves in 20 minutes.
Okay.
So here's Kevin McGrath on the phone. You want to?
Well, I was just going to say, I'll never forget the panic getting seventh round picks and phoning a team, and I had to give a golf round at my owner's Double Eagle golf course for their seventh round pick. So we announced future considerations, and you couldn't say, in those days you didn't have to tell, but it was for a round of golf at Double Eagle, which is Mr. McConnell's private course.
Expecting a deal like that, Kevin, tonight, coming from the Toronto Maple Leafs? Something to give away?
A bottle of wine, maybe? A nice bottle of wine, the Larry Murphy trade?
Yes, that's right. Thanks for joining us. We want to delve into what's happened. It's been really quiet around the Maple Leafs, and I can't imagine that it is behind the scenes, but there is some scuttlebutt about the future of Kadri and the future of Dion Phaneuf and whether or not they're in play leading up to Tuesday and free agency day, but where do they stand tonight going into the draft?
Well, it's all very interesting, and Dave Nonis was very, I think, honest and forthright. I mean, you never know if a general manager is lying to you or not, but he said the price is too high to move up. It's not worth it to move up. You're going to get somebody at 8 that's going to help you down the road, so we're happy at 8. And he was honest. He said he wasn't in on Spezza or Kessler. This is a team, oddly enough, that has promised change and is not actually going to change. Their change is going to be in attitude, it sounds like, not in players. What I'm interested to see is just what you said there. If guys like Phaneuf and Kadri get moved, then we're seeing a change in direction, and maybe that's the Shanahan effect if he's decided that the core is not good enough.
So the press conference to introduce Shanny was quite a while ago. I can't say that all I expected in the 3 months or so that have passed would be the firing of a couple of assistant coaches. Like, are you not blown away by this, that we haven't seen something? Some boldness? Now all we're hearing is patience.
I find that revolutionary in itself. Like, I'm shocked that they haven't done anything. But you could argue that doing something would only be knee-jerk. That, you know, if they truly believe in this group, then they truly believe that staying the course is the correct idea.
But Kevin, just sort of, Kevin, then why did they make any, why did they bring Shanahan in if they're happy? The tone of that press conference was they were not happy. They wanted major changes in direction and culture and players and.
But is not a major change in direction of the franchise patience? Because this franchise has never been patient.
And yeah, that's true.
That's a major change in direction.
And the fans have to be patient. It's only been since 67. I mean, God.
You're right about that.
Yeah, that's why I'm curious about what is going to happen. These next couple of days are going to, well, from the draft to free agency, it's going to set out the direction of the team and basically tell us who's running the show here. Has Nonis co-opted Shanahan into, this is a good plan we have here, let's not muck it up? Or is Shanahan talking to all his friends and getting his advice on Phaneuf's not a captain and this and that, and things will change? Because if they trade Phaneuf, then that tells me Shanahan's in charge. And the plan that we've been sold for the last 3 to 5 years is in shambles. And if they keep Phaneuf, it tells me that they honestly do have faith in the players that they've signed.
Or they can't move them.
Whether it's that.
Do the parameters around trading Phaneuf change between now and Tuesday when the new contract kicks in? Like, no movements, limitations, all that kind of stuff?
I think he's easier to move now than he would be on July 1st.
I can't wait to read your article in the next couple of days saying, you know, it's really terrific. The Leafs are showing great patience. And see how that goes over with your readers.
I actually wrote one like that about 2 months ago, or maybe a month ago, that this is the revolution is that they're being patient. And it didn't go over well, trust me.
For those that think that Doug's been being mean to Kevin at all, Kevin did take the train back with us from Montreal one time.
No, I'm not being mean.
Sat for 5 hours taking barbs and
taking shots.
This isn't meanness. This is just, you know, look, I just expected a little more. And look, we're only heading into the draft. Nothing could really have been done, a few, you know, trades, but nothing could really have been done till tonight and then moving forward through the weekend. And you've got to expect there's going to be some action. This is a team that, did they win a game their last 25?
Very few of them.
They won one. I think I was there for one of them. But
they won on Long Island.
In their defense, they can't, I actually do believe that until Florida sorts out whether it's trading one, whether the centers that are on the market get moved, you know, there's a trickle-down effect that will follow, and maybe a Leaf trade, if Kadri's involved, can't happen until the team get the other centers get moved, because then the market changes. So there might be movement, you know, if the dam bursts, then we'll see what kind of flood happens. But this has all the earmarks of everybody thinking there's going to be massive change and massive trades and then, you know, being a big dud.
But there could be not massive change, but change of, you know, significance when you think about the negotiations early on, at least, don't sound very positive with Dave Bolin.
Right.
That's going to be a huge hole on their roster. Kuhlman, they've been lukewarm about. Komarov, suddenly there's competition. They could have some major holes to fill.
Oh yeah, like they need to know this 5-day window of where teams can talk to free agents. It's kind of fascinating, but because you can get a signal from somebody, say a Bolin, that he's leaving, and then you make moves to accommodate that, and then you find that you could have got him on July 2nd because nobody else really wanted him, or you know you can get the reverse: a free agent signals that he's ready to come, and then you make moves to accommodate that at the draft, and then you don't get him. This could really play havoc with how teams are being built.
Here's the challenge. If Bolin walks, And it won't surprise me Florida standing there right now with a seven-year deal at $5 million. That wouldn't surprise me in the least that that's there, and that's why they're being a little arrogant, the Bolin camp. That wouldn't surprise me because of the history of Dale and Bolin. But if they lose Bolin and you think, okay, they're not getting Joe Thornton in all likelihood, they're not getting Ryan Kesler, they're not getting Jason Spezza, and there's a limited chance Brad Richards would ever come to Toronto because of, you know, I mean, the everything that goes along with it. Who's going to play after Kadri and Bozak?
Well, this is the most amazing thing. Like, for years we've been hearing that number one centers are not available. There's no centers available as free agents. And this year, it's like there's a market.
And Stastny. There's five of them.
Yeah, they're sitting there waiting to be taken. Like, they're sitting waiting to be courted. This is a year that if you really do want to upgrade at center, it's almost easy to do. I admit past years it's been difficult, right? Like, David Leguan's really the best guy going. Okay, well, whatever. But this year, if you want to upgrade at center, it is completely possible. And to me, it's remarkable that the Leafs are not in that. At least they're signaling that they're not after any of those guys.
And Brendan Shanahan, I think the perception was that would he not attract some of these guys to want to come and play for this newly, the aura around the Brendan Shanahan era in Toronto?
Well, we can't fault him on that until Tuesday.
No, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe there's a ton going on. Maybe they're lined up to come and play for Brendan because that seemed to be the, you know, I mean, that's why you bring these presidents in.
Lewicki sold it that way.
Right.
Well, maybe they're afraid of getting suspended or something, getting fined.
But maybe it's going on, and I think we're just laying out the cards that it probably is going on, and we're going to be not.
Kevin McGrann from the Toronto Star, nice enough to join us on Hockey Central, presented by Lexus in the Park. I never thought I'd say this, but it's kind of dull with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Hey, here's to hoping things spice up a little bit for you.
Yeah, Dave was very forthright, very accommodating. And there was no Brian Burke. We're going to get the first overall. We're going to do this. It has been almost an easy draft to cover. I haven't had to worry about my emails exploding and my Twitter feed exploding. It's been dull from that point of view. I want to sell more papers.
But if I see you mention patience in your article this week, I'm going to puke.
All right.
kidding,
first,
Kevin.
First word. Make sure you get
if
it
you
on
can
the
get
paper.
It in the first paragraph, I'd appreciate it. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin.
No problem, guys.
Kevin McGrann from the Toronto Star. We have a big show coming up on Tuesday.
We do indeed.
11 a.m. Eastern Time through to 6 o'clock. We'll hand it over to Connected, and we'll be on the air 6 to 7 on Connected. It's the free agent day in which...
Is there not a title for it? Certain title, one of those grabby titles we usually have?
Signing season.
Oh, that's right. Signing season.
So 11 to 12, we'll tee up the day and then open it up. Hockey Central at noon. We'll be on the air simulcast on Sportsnet 590, the Sportsnet Radio Network. And we'll see how many of these names really get scooped up. Because while it's a very even field at the draft, not much to say between 1 and 5, and you could probably make a case for 7 and 8. It's there's not that go-to guy.
Well, the go-to
in free agent. It's there's some depth there. No,
if Niskanen is the biggest coup on July 1st, we like Niskanen, good player, but he's the biggest name or one of the Vanek. Him and Vanek, the biggest names. It's a different, but it's the
Minnesota
trades.
Minnesota doesn't want to go
your
long
big names
term.
Are the trade
it's
names.
It's the trades that can add great intrigue to that day or to tonight. If one of these trades happen tonight with a Spezza, which we don't expect, or a Kesler, then that changes the whole.
Well, and the other wild card on that day is that there's not a deadline. Mm-hmm. So, you don't have some players. We saw it last year, the first hour or two, there was a flurry of activity, and then things calmed down a little bit, and then there's a trickle after that. And again, with the trades, that they don't have to happen on that day.
Really ticks me off because July 1st used to start at midnight, and I'd be sitting in the damn office at midnight starting to work the phones and working all night. You know, now these wimps get off. They don't start it till like noon. I mean, give me a break.
Well, and they got 5 days before to set the table.
Yeah, we had a tamper.
You're Paul Stastny's camp right now. You're praying that Spezza and Kesler aren't traded before.
No.
Before Tuesday.
And I'm hearing rumblings that Stastny will be signed in Colorado, too. I'm hearing that.
Well, if he
not
gets,
saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying I'm here.
Well, and they've been pretty emphatic that they're not taking a pay cut.
Yeah.
Unless maybe he gets a little bit of term to shave it a bit.
And as Kippy says, they got to look at the cost of living.
Yes.
Cost of living is a big factor. And it is in Florida, I know, with the tent, with the income, the tax situation. I get that.
The other big name some people believe might or could be in play, depending on the direction they decide to go, is Eric Staal. Is it Carolina?
From a trade.
Yeah, from a trade perspective. So another name to sort of throw
into
the mix.
Maybe he's the big fish Toronto's waiting to move on.
Enough for Staal?
No, not a chance. Not a chance. But maybe Staal is the big...
Which way not a chance?
Not a chance that it's foot for or Staal for Phaneuf. I mean, he might be a part of it, but it's certainly... It's got to be a lot more than Phaneuf for Staal.
We're not saying that's happening.
No,
we're definitely not.
You mentioned
don't
Toronto.
Want that
no, but hey,
thinking
Staal,
out loud.
Like seriously, if you don't do anything, Brendan, for the next year, but if you can get Eric Staal, who to me is ripe for a change, he's ripe for a change, and he's a heck of a player.
Mm-hmm. There's depth, but there's not that marquee guy either on the free agent side. That's 11 o'clock. I think there's going to be a lot of action.
Yeah.
It'll be a busy day.
Well, Dan Boyle's the other name that's been linked to a few teams. The Rangers, possibly. Toronto has had conversations.
Yeah. Detroit.
Willie Mitchell's not going back to L.A.
Yeah.
They can't fit him in.
Interesting. I was reading Ken Danico's analysis of the defensemen that are available, and he started with Niskanen, and he went to Boyle, and he went all the way down. And you know what? It was really interesting to him. The guy that might be the best value is Willie, because he's not going to get a big ticket. Basically, what Ken said is, people are going to get ripped off because they're going to overpay two or three of these defensemen, mm-hmm. and they're going to be bad deals. But a guy like Willie Mitchell, if you get him at the right price, you know, in the $2 million range, you know, you got yourself a dependable veteran
guy.
Sure
played well for the Kings.
It's like Matt Green. I mean, Dean was sharp to get him done because he would have been a guy in play for a lot of, or pick.
And Green wanted to stay there.
Right. Or pick's banged up. People are nervous about what he's got left in the tank because he's had injury problems. He's out there. But, you know, though Niskanen had a great second half last year, but is he really the $6 million guy people are going to pay him? I don't know.
I'm impressed. You're in a good mood for staying up late last night.
Why was I up late? No, it's better for me because I did the 11 to 11:30 and then I go to bed. It's actually better for me when I do that show.
You know what? I'm going to make your day even better right now.
What?
Because we're finger cooking. Lunch today. We ordered online.
I don't
online.
Smell it and I don't see it.
We ordered online at bostonpizza.com. Here it comes. Over 100 delivery items to choose from at Boston Pizza. But Frank, there's Frank.
Did he deliver it?
Frank's delivered every week that we've had this promotion.
I think the delivery boy has gotten lost.
No, he's right out there.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Outside in the kitchen.
I think the delivery boy is... I think it's coming by drone.
So what's your gut feeling tonight? First pick traded, or does Florida keep it?
I think Florida keeps the first pick, but I can't figure it out. I really can't. I think they'll end up keeping it, but I'll probably be wrong on that.
I think he keeps it.
And you think if he keeps it, it's Ekblad.
Yeah.
If he keeps it, it's Ekblad. I'll say that. If he doesn't,
I really think I think he deals it.
Probably does. He probably does.
We'll find out.
If he runs into Vinny Viola, mm-hmm. or what's Vinny's kid's name that's VP of something there. If he runs into the two of them, he'll be trading it.
We'd like to thank Kevin McGran from the Toronto Star for stopping by. Thanks for being patient, Kevin. And also the commissioner of the National Hockey League, Gary Bettman, who is walking by John Shannon, who is on the phone with us. And Shannon just handed him the cell.
One of the best interviews John Shannon has ever done on this show.
Just grabbing a guy and handing him the phone.
Yes.
That was impressive, though.
It was great. Shanny, thanks.
Doesn't happen every day.
That's why you listen to the show. You never really know what's going
People
to happen.
People want to get on this show, and Gary Bettman's no
Look
different from
draft.
Anybody else.
Look ahead to the draft at 6 on Connected, and then a complete recap tonight at 10. Talk to you then.